Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Optiq arrives in Europe. ID4, ID5 get cheaper for VW and Electrify America live data. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you how close GM got to their long-standing promise that by the end of this year, they will sell more EVs than Tesla. Spoiler alert, they'll miss it. But by how much? Well, we'll start with news of Cadillac opening orders for the all-electric Optiq in Germany, France, Sweden, and Switzerland, with first deliveries expected in February 2026, a German starting price of €65,000. The Cadillac Optiq is the brand's most affordable electric vehicle, and it joins the Cadillac Lyriq and the Vistiq. Now, the European version, it's not just subtly different, it's significantly different. In fact, they've gone as far as bolting a whole new battery pack into it. So, the Euro version of the Optiq gets a smaller 75 kilowatt hour pack, down from the 85 kilowatt hour battery in the US model. So, WLTP is 264 miles, or 425 kilometers if you're in Europe, versus the EPA 280. So 280 to 264, and WLTP is always more optimistic anyway. The dual motor setup in the Eurospec Optiq, 304 horsepower. US model, 440. The version we get is significantly worse. European customers also have to stand around longer at a DC fast charging station. This thing tops out at 110 kilowatts, 40 less than the US variant's 150 kilowatt peak. AC charging is perhaps a silver lining, it's 22. The Optiq also has Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, which are absent in the US version. So, look, I understand this. I don't have any insight into the inner workings of supply chains and why the Cadillac Optiq over here is so different. At €65,000, two trims, premium luxury and premium sport, let's go to this big competition. Vehicles like the Audi Q6 e-tron are very strong competition. Bigger battery, bigger range, faster charging, and depending on deals, cheaper as well. All right, let's move on. The UK Department of Transport adding the VW ID4 ID5 to the electric car grant. So there's now 40 EVs that get the UK grant. If you buy the Pure Essential, Pure Match, and Pro Essential trims, £1,500 off. No paperwork for you to do. Dealer does all that. Those variants are offered as a single or dual motor variant with a 52 kilowatt hour pack or 77 kilowatt hour pack. Pure Essential is 35.5. This is pounds, by the way, sterling. That's down, you know, $1,500. And to qualify, cars must have at least 100 miles of battery electric range. Well, yep, obviously, because on the small pack, those cars do 221 miles or so. On the big pack, 339. The warranty has to be more than 3 years or 60,000 miles. The battery warranty has to be 8 years or 100,000 miles to get the grant money. With the ID4 and ID5 added, VW now has three. So the ID3, which starts at 29,000-ish, was already in the scheme. The grant expansion helped set a UK monthly record of EV registrations last month. Passenger EVs up 30% year on year. Diesel down 30%. Now, nice little story. Electrify America has added its real-time charger data to Google Maps, giving EV drivers up-to-the-minute station info across the network. The live feed will augment Google's real-time availability feature. Station listings display live availability, connector type, charging speed, and operational status. Doesn't always mean that when you rock on up, you'll get a perfect charge, but it's better than nothing. You can select your charger and plan your route with the current data. Would be handy as well. Increasingly, many EV charging networks are increasingly doing time of day pricing. Tesla have been doing that for a long time. It would be good when live data gets fed in, by the way, if that is also part of future live data, kind of APIs and backends and things like that. Now, let's talk a little bit about Americans increasingly open to Chinese EVs. An Auto Pacific study shows US familiarity with Chinese car makers up 65% this year compared to last year, and willingness to consider buying a Chinese brand also climbing to 52%. More than half of Americans who are going to buy an EV would consider a Chinese EV. That's huge. Among respondents familiar with specific brands, it was Huawei that came out top. All right, that doesn't necessarily make sense to me, but either way, Huawei was top, then Xiaomi, then BYD, then Great Wall Motors, Geely and NIO. Concerns about data privacy and national security eased year over year. Perceived security risk fell from 80 to 77%, and perceived national security risk down from 82 to 79%. Both are incredibly high. People have asked me, you drive a Chinese car, Polestar, owned by Geely, made in China. Are you worried that the Chinese are spying on you? No, life's too short for me to worry about that. They're more than welcome to know everywhere I go and what I get up to. And if they want to, I don't know, use the microphones to listen to me telling off my kids for mushing yogurt into the back seats, well, they're more than welcome to that. Honestly, life is too short to worry about it. I would hope not. But if it happens, I'm not losing sleep. And I don't know, criticize me for that if you will. I can't stop it. I like the car. I'm not going to stop me buying the vehicle. I don't know, but it's on people's minds, and it's a very important issue to many Americans, according to this data. Now, Mercedes-Benz expanding the CLA lineup. The CLA lineup's ridiculously good, by the way. In fact, the CLA vehicle, 5 miles per kilowatt hour. A small vehicle, don't get me wrong, compared to how fat cars are getting these days. But now a lower price CLA 200. In euros, it starts at 46,950. It's good pricing. They position the top range 250 plus as a compact class kind of benchmark for range, WLTP'd at 792 kilometers. That started at 56,000 euros. So the CLA for its RRP is $6,000 below that, but that other price I told you is 46,950 is a discounted price for now. LFP pack, 58 kilowatt hours, WLTP'd at 541 kilometers, still plenty for many people. Mercedes saying that the latest LFP technology is durable, it's safe. Lack of cobalt, nickel or manganese. Tolerance for fast charge cycles is higher than the higher spec battery chemistries. Maximum DC charging 200 kilowatts. 10 to 80 on that, 20 minutes. Look, this is all really good. Now, the higher spec CLAs do charge at 320, isn't it? And so, look, 320 is, again, ridiculously fast. However, for many people that do occasional road trips, 200 still knocks your socks off. In terms of minutes, let's always talk about minutes. Now, a great channel to follow is my friend Tom Logany from State of Charge. He does this as well. And he'll say, oh, you know, the peak speed is this and the charge curve is this. But in minutes, it might be 2 more minutes. I mean, come on, that's just, it's nothing, is it? And so the CLA 200, rear-wheel drive, 165 kilowatts of power, 7.5 seconds to do the dash, very, very appealing car at that lower price of 46,950. Now, Fastned will convert an old warehouse in Aberdeen, that's Scotland. Aberdeen's one of the most beautiful cities in the world, by the way. If you've never been to Aberdeen, yes, you have got the Scottish weather, but that's fine. It's actually, that's kind of part of the beauty of it as well. Aberdeen is just an incredible place if you've never been. I went many years ago when the oil industry was bigger than it is now, and just the money sloshing around at the time was incredible. Now, Fastned, the charging operator, is going to convert an old warehouse there on Virginia Street into an indoor, ultra-rapid EV charging hub with a drive-through facility. Council have given it the thumbs up now. It's all covered. It's inside a building. We've seen this before in, I want to say, San Francisco is a famous one for Electrify America. So the existing warehouse gets preserved. The architecture of it, 12 DC fast chargers inside of 400 kilowatts and, you know, 5 minutes charging and, you know, 100 miles added in many EVs. Chargers will be arranged in a drive-through layout like a petrol station. But when you arrive, of course, you will be inside a building and undercover. Therefore, there's going to be shops and seating areas and toilets and facilities as well. But with 400 kilowatt charging on Fastned, that's amazing. The only thing about doing it in Aberdeen, which is awesome, by the way, amazing city, you're not really passing through Aberdeen. I mean, you go to Scotland and then you keep going. And so it's not like it's, you know, slap bang. It's not Nottingham, is it? Where everyone's kind of going up and down across the country. So, but amazing news anyway. And I love stuff like this. What a lovely experience to have to be undercover for, you know, 20 minutes in a nice surrounding environment. Now, Toyota is in the news today. A new consortium, which is led by Toyota, is getting some UK money. They've done a collaboration with the University of Derby, securing funding through a £2.5 billion UK programme to look at electric quadricycles, small vehicles, developing a vehicle like the current production models for the Citroën AMI and the Silence SO4, drawing design and concept cues from Toyota's small vehicles, which we've seen recently. It responds to a wider push across Europe for possibly creating our version of the Japanese K-car system, where cars have limits on size and weight and things like that. Now, Tesla is reintroducing Mad Max mode to full self-driving, restoring the speed profile called Mad Max for FSD supervised. Release notes say that introducing a new speed profile called Mad Max comes with higher speeds and more frequent lane changes than Hurry mode. The mode's name refers to the Mad Max films and aggressive driving that you'd see in those. Mad Max appeared in Autopilot back in 2018, I think it was, when Elon Musk at the time described it as an aggressive way of handling Californian traffic, lane changes and dense traffic. He cited Los Angeles as one example of where you need to drive in Mad Max mode, even as a human. So the relaunch arrives at an interesting time because there is intense regulatory scrutiny on Tesla's ADAS Level 2 system. Legal challenges, NHTSA probes, wrongful death lawsuits, which Tesla, by the way, have been settling more recently. They fought one all the way to the end recently and lost that, and appealed and lost it again. And then more recently, they've been settling out of court to avoid any more scrutiny, at least through the legal system. California DMV having a look at it as well. Within 24 hours of relaunch, videos cropping up on YouTube of people going rolling through stop signs, not stopping at a stop sign, going 15 miles an hour, that's 25 kph, over the posted speed limit. I think Mad Max mode can technically go any speed over the speed limit, correct me if I'm wrong. Interesting time to go with a system that is designed, not by accident, but by design to break the law. Again, it's a thing that you can't do in Europe, because we don't allow it, because you European regulators say, "Watch your, show us your system and we'll decide if you can use it." The American system is do a thing, and then after it's out there, we'll decide if it's safe or not. We do road regulations like Americans do aviation regulations, which is the other way around. So you tell us what you want to do, and then we'll think about approving it. So they would, Mad Max mode would never come over here, because it'd be like, oh, we've designed a system to break the law. European regulators would be like, jog on, mate. Now, Norway is going to lower some thresholds, the EV VAT threshold, and end the exemption there as well. Look, Norway's at 100% EV, and that's like 100% pure BEV. So removing and reducing the exemptions for passenger cars under their new state budget for 2026, the finance minister from the Labour Party says that at the time, 95% electric share, it's almost 100 now, it's 98.2 last month, that it's time to phase out benefits. The proposal cuts the VAT exemption threshold from around €42,000 equivalent to about €25,000 equivalent, and goes from 2027. EVs priced at the moment up to a certain limit are VAT exempt. VAT only applies to amounts above the $500,000 threshold. The government estimates that the support now costs about €1.5 billion equivalent per year. The budget also raises the one-off registration tax for fossil fuel passenger cars to keep incentives for zero-emission vehicles, scaling back direct financial support but penalising combustion, which has been Norway's playbook for a very long time, and it's worked incredibly well. You won't be surprised to hear the EVA, Electric Vehicle Association, not behind these changes, saying it could reverse progress. We'll wait and see. Hey, I'm always a fan of saying, look, let's wait and see. Everyone's got an opinion, haven't they? But let's wait and see. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Subaru and Slate and more. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, let's talk about Subaru. They'll show off two new concept cars at the Tokyo Auto Show later this month. One of them will be an all-electric Performance E STI, the STI name coming back. Their first STI. The company released a pair of teaser images that give a look and says the Performance E STI previews the future of Subaru performance. At the exhibit, they'll also debut in Japan a Trail Seeker EV SUV, which is interesting. Slate, the small pickup truck, Jeff Bezos-backed startup, is bringing a minimalist two-door electric pickup to the market, $27,000. Obviously, they were talking about a $20,000 vehicle. That was when there was an incentive. This summer, engineers have been doing hot weather testing in Nevada, testing battery cooling and cabin air conditioning, up 6% grades, fully loaded beds, and fully towing their weight limit as well. The vehicle targets a minimalist, low-cost market position, standard equipment, manual crank windows, 52 kilowatt-hour pack, 150 miles EPA range, and then everything else is an upgrade. So, speakers, a bolt-on roof to make it an SUV, a bigger battery that's 84 kilowatt hours. Everything is an added extra, but they're saying that all the hot weather testing has gone fine. All that validation program was completed successfully. They can move on to the next stage now. Kia in Europe is next. They want to triple European EV production capacity over here within 2 years. They're going to add the EV2 and EV4 to European production plans. The company says it'll provide an EV option for every buyer segment. The EV2... below the EV3, as Kia's smallest, most affordable EV, due in 2026, Kia says it'll redefine urban electric mobility, which is big talk. And the EV3, my favourite car of the year, by the way, as I've mentioned many, many times. But the EV2, if you want to redefine urban electric mobility, it's got to be cheap. Because it ain't going to redefine anything if it's too expensive. And so... flexible interior, lots of connectivity and things like that. They'll make it in Slovakia. 100,000 units are going to be made there by 2027, they say. They have been upgrading the plant, ready for EV2 and EV4. Production of the EV4 began in August. Kia's first EV assembled in Europe. Hyundai have been making EVs over here for a long time, sister company, but with more than 80,000 EV4 units planned by 2027. If you include the fastback and the sedan variant, also built in Korea, global EV4 production will be 100,000 units. Now, Hyundai is next in the news. Beijing Hyundai, actually. Hyundai in China, not really a big thing. And the joint venture with BAIC has opened pre-sales for a new EV, but it's not called a Hyundai Ioniq number. It's called the EO, Hyundai's first China-assembled electric SUV. It's $18,000 equivalent. Dedicated electric model. They're going to try and push in China with that joint venture. And spy photos of the camouflaged versions thought it might be called the Ioniq 4. The EO, though, as it is called, three trims, fun, smart, and tech, starting, like I say, about $18,000, going up to $21,000 for the top spec trim. Very common in China. What you can do is put a little deposit down, almost a nothing deposit, like 100 yuan, and you get a extra set of value bundled in, just some more goodies. Early buyer incentives also include cash subsidies, different body colours, lower insurance rates, home charging station included as well. And finally, how close did GM get to the long-standing promise that we were made in 2021, and when's a CEO ever been wrong, that GM will sell more electric cars than Tesla by 2025? Now, 2021 was a punchy time for General Motors. They were making some very big claims about electric vehicles, and one of them was, we'll be bigger than Tesla by 2025. Now, who was to doubt? You can't say that's a lie, and you can't say you're wrong, because they've got 4 years to deliver. And so, in a way, there's no downside. Unless, in 2025, we have a look back and call them out and say, did you do what you promised? Well, in 2021, the CEO, Mary Barra, told CNBC, with no hesitation, we absolutely, that's the quote, absolutely will surpass Tesla in the next 4 years. There was some, I remember reporting at the time on the podcast, there was some confusion, like, you know, what, globally or US or North America? That was never spelled out. And that's annoying because we wanted to kind of interrogate that claim and work out the numbers of what have you got to get to and where will Tesla be? And Tesla's wobbled lately, don't get me wrong. Great last quarter, but they're not going to be at what they want to be, you know, 20 million vehicles by the end of the year every single year. So look, that's Tesla themselves have not delivered on the promises that they were making at that time. But GM were punchy. They said that at the time, Tesla had a 63% EV market share in the US and GM was 10. CNBC's Phil LeBeau said, can you be bigger than Tesla in 2025? Mary Barra replied, absolutely. We will keep working until we have number one market share in EVs. I think we all assumed they were talking about US because at the time, you know, China blowing up and things like that exploding would have been very difficult on a global scale. Over the next 4 years, Tesla's US market share did indeed fall, which is natural. There's just more competition around. Legacy automakers, startups, pure EV brands. However, as of today, Tesla is substantially larger than GM. Per Cox Automotive, Tesla, at the moment, in the first 9 months of the year, according to Cox data, Tesla is at a 43.2% share of the US EV market. That is 3 times the combined market share of every GM brand, leaving GM on track to not only miss their goal, but miss it by a country mile. That's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.